experience during this past time has not been as dramatic as a lot of people's has. I was COVID-19 affected my life. I'll just go through here so that I don't waste too much time here. The first few weeks, of course, we know that we were on a shutdown. It was just really strange to go outside and hear no traffic.
And I'm sure that most of you experienced that same thing as well. It was just really odd to experience that. We stayed at home. We made a few runs to the grocery store, but that was about the extent of it. My thought was, this will soon be over. People are overreacting. You know, it's no big thing. And that was my thought. And also, I guess as a personal testimony, this past year was the first time in a long time that I ended the year, you all know I'm self-employed, but I ended the year with a bit of a surplus. That's usually not the case. The first part of the year, January, February, March, even into April, my work is really slow. But I had a surplus, and I thank God for that, because we had sufficient funds, didn't have to work during that time. So I was very grateful for that. One of the highlights that I had during that time, and I think I've shared this with you before, that we would about once a week I'd get an email from the bank president. It's kind of stating the, you know, what was going on, what their response was, what their office hours were, and how we were supposed to go in or not go in. And one of those times I got a letter, and I'm not sure. This letter here from the bank president is dated March 20th. So it was sometime prior to that he had written a letter. It was just by email. And so I just hit the reply, and I thanked him for his he was encouraging us to just stay calm and not overreact. And I thanked him for that. And I got a letter back from him, handwritten, from the bank president. And I was just really shocked. And I kept looking at that. And yeah, it says, from the desk of Eric Beckhausen, I think that's. And he just said, I want to first thank you for your customer relationship. And more importantly, let you know how much I appreciated your kind and encouraging comments about our message to customers sent on Wednesday. Most of us recognize we are all in a very unusual time right now, but it will pass. I appreciate your level-headed outlook, and that is what we all need to make sure spreads a lot more right now. So that was a highlight during that time. As for me personally and in my work, it was not illegal for me, although we were on the shutdown. It was not illegal for commercial vehicles to be on the road. And so it was not illegal for me to deliver a house. And so I didn't do much during that time. I think it was like the third week I delivered a 28x80, a big house up north back in the woods. And it was back in the woods. It was a lane. It was a public road, but I would call it a lane. And it was one of those that went like this. And when you take a 110-foot long rig going like this, that's kind of difficult. But I delivered that, and the customer says, how did you get here? And I said, well, I drove. I said, nobody said I couldn't, so I went. And so I delivered that. But the thing in my occupation was I delivered one other house a couple weeks after that. And that was also kind of at the back of a dead-end road, not quite as far back in. And I think the reason that those two building sites got permission to go ahead was because they were way back in, they weren't exposed a lot. This is my own thinking, that others could not look at them and said, you allowed them to go ahead to build, why can't I? And I don't know if that's the reason or not, but both of those were back in, pretty much out of sight of the public. But the the cause was that permits, building permits, were not being issued because all the government offices were closed. So that was the thing that was holding up my aspect of work. The parts and supply chain, those of you that are in the RV industry know this for a fact as well. The parts and supply chain was interrupted again. And so a lot of the factories could not get their parts, couldn't get their doors and windows, and that was hindering us as well. I did hear, and this was simply by word of mouth, that there was a set crew that was set a house. Supposedly this took place up in the UP someplace. They went ahead and set a house, basement, crawl space, whatever, without the permit. And they were fined $15,000. Now, whether they had to pay all of that, I don't know. But gradually then people got back to work. People worked through the difficulties that were coming up. A few of the things that this spoke to me personally was appreciation of what we're calling now essential workers. And that has quite a broad aspect. But the trucking industry was essential. You had to keep supplies, food and groceries. Yeah, the paper racks were empty, though. We all know, went through that. No toilet paper and no paper. When I first heard that toilet paper was sold out, I thought, how stupid, how silly. Why would somebody hoard toilet paper? I still don't know, but that was part of my thought. But doctors and nurses, of course, had to stay working, and some of those worked double shifts, worked a lot of hours. The food industry had to keep going on. Walking through a drive-through restaurant was a new experience for me. I did that several times. And for the most part, you're not supposed to do that. But numerous people expressed their appreciation when they knew that I was a trucker, that I was still out there working. And, just different experiences. One experience I had, I went to the door, and it was locked. I think they had closed for the evening because I had been there a couple weeks earlier, and you could go inside and get your food and carry it out. But the door was locked. The drive-through line was long, so I just turned around and was walking back out to my truck. And some guy got out of his vehicle and hollered. He said, "Are you with the truck?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Come over here." And he was the next in line. He said, "Get right in front of me here." And he said, "I drive truck as well." And so he let me go right in front, and you just walked up to the window and ordered the food right there at the pickup window, and they would get it for you. And a few of them expressed their appreciation that I was out there. So we appreciated essential workers. A couple times I drove with my personal vehicle through the drive-through and gave the person a pack of Smarties and said, "Thank you for working here yet and allowing us to get some food." So appreciation of the essential workers. Saying thank you for those who served you, whether it was at a restaurant or at the bank or wherever, but just expressing your appreciation to them. One of the other things was being obedient to the law, to the governor's mandates. I don't know, are we up to, we're over 100 mandates now, I think, in Michigan. I don't know how many it is that during this time. But being obedient, even when you feel that it is totally senseless. I know a lot of you would express your sentiment as well. But the mandates to stay at home, the mandates to wear a mask, or you don't have to wear a mask, and I'm not going to get involved with that. That's each one's personal opinion. I carry one with me. I use a mask when I feel it's necessary. Only, I think, twice was I asked when I walked into a store, "Oh, you have to wear a mask." And one time I simply forgot. The other time I think I left. But talking bad about our governor, about our leaders, other officials from the president right on down, Let's be very, very careful. I know in our conversations we talk about that, and let's be careful. They are still the ones who are over us, and we need to be obedient. It's still not back the way it was. People talk about getting back to normal or the way it used to be. And I'm not sure if it ever will be. I don't know. It may never be the same. The other thing you heard a lot about was conspiracy theories about the government and what's all behind this. Is it one party or the other? Forced vaccines, if that becomes available. Maybe being forced to have a computer chip installed under your skin. I don't know. I don't have any answers for that. But I do know that none of this has really taken God by surprise. He didn't wake up when this all started and he said, "Oh, what am I going to do now?" Not God. God is still in control. And I'm thankful for that. One verse I want to read. And Sheldon almost read this verse. Psalm 57, verse 1. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." So I'm not sure what the future holds. Again, I say it will probably never be like it was, but I do hope that it will be, that it will improve. The other thing I would like to say that's a little bit off subject, but a lot of you have asked about Mamie. Mamie and I are okay as a couple, okay? I don't want anybody to think otherwise. Mamie and I are okay. But she is diabetic. Most of you know that. And so she is in the high-risk category. And also she has a few other health issues. She's been going to a couple different doctors and trying to figure out. She just has no stamina. To walk from the van in here just makes her tired. Most of you, a lot of you know where we live. Our house is not far from the road, and she takes the van to the mailbox. She just has no stamina. Otherwise, she is perfectly, I don't want to say healthy, because she's not, but our relationship is as it should be. So continue to pray for her. So, thank you.
Thank you, Marcus, and you did very well on staying out of the politics of it. I'll try to do the same. We encouraged this time not to be involved or to go overboard with the politics, but some of my experiences as well with the shutdown with COVID, positive, the 2 month especially of the extra time. We didn't go to church on Wednesday evening. All of a sudden, that stopped. We had family plans and get-togethers, birthday parties. Stopped. Everything stopped. Wow. We had kind of a rough winter at our place, at least in the back 40 acres in the woods. Quite a few treetops and things came down. And I cut wood. Cut a lot of wood and cleaned up branches and that was positive. It was pleasant to be able to go back into the woods and to spend time back there. It was just a time to be with nature. I reading Facebook and friends that lived in towns and cities and that sort of thing. What do you do for 2 months? I wouldn't know. I had a chainsaw and we had the four wheelers and tractors and we did work. So, you know, that was therapeutic. It was good to do that. During that first month, I went to the ear doctor and I got hearing aids. And that doesn't mean I hear everything. I still miss some of the things Ellen thinks I should hear, especially when she's talking. And I don't get all of Mary. They're not perfect, but something they did for me is brought out the higher notes. I could hear higher notes, and Shortly after I had him, I went back into the woods and crawled up in a tree stand and sat there in the tree stand for an hour and listened to birds that I haven't heard for a long time. So that was a blessing. Some of us that are losing our hearing, we miss those things. We don't even realize we're missing them until all of a sudden it's turned on. And that was a blessing to be able to do that. Some of the negative go right along with the positive things experiencing and not going to church, not going to family activities, not going to our social gatherings, not going shopping with Ellen, not doing those things. I like people. I like to be around people. And my wife knows that if something isn't planned for a couple days, I'll plan something. We're going to go do something or we're going to invite somebody over. But there was a number of months that it was quiet. That was loss of fellowship. And with that, kind of the fear that that brought. Dave Miller, Gospel Express, one of the things shared, not sure if it was at the board meetings or where we heard it, but he was pondering this COVID thing and the shutdown and the fear that was gripping our people and the fear that's gripping the nation. And Satan was using this COVID to, he said there's three things that he feels that Satan is using, bringing fear and bringing confusion and bringing control. And if you stop and think about that, those are tools of our enemy. Those are tools of Satan. And he said, that's not God. God is not in the spirit of, doesn't have the spirit of fear and confusion and control. So where are we as believers? And that helped me realize to steer away from that, to not get caught up, conspiracy theories and all of those things. We had more time, so spent a little more time on the Facebook and some of those places. It wasn't always healthy. That wasn't always good. I do have to agree with that. But realizing, I guess, how quickly the whole world can change. A year ago, if somebody would have said in 2 months' time, the whole world could be shut down. I said, no, not our world. It's too big. There's too many aspects of it. But in a month, 2 months' time, it was shut down. Oh, it can happen. You know, you're thinking of the end times and some of the prophecies that go with that and the one world order and that sort of thing. It can't happen. Probably not in my lifetime, but all of a sudden, it could. It could be right here. But, so those are some of the negative things. But along with that, having the extra time, being able to spend extra time with my devotionals and scriptures and looking at God's promises and that He is faithful, He's loving, His word is true, and He fills us with His Spirit. We can experience that. We can experience the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I'm just reminded of this, that is my life showing a life of fear and concern and dread? Or am I optimistic and positive? Do I have love and joy and peace? But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. My business is essential work as well, working for agriculture, dairy farmers. Is able to be on the road legally and to be able to go out. And my experience working with farmers of the customers that we went to, 4, 5, 6 customers a day, didn't have any of the farmers wearing masks, coming out to the truck with masks on. Life on the farm is really pretty normal. It was. And interacting with my customers was really pretty normal. But something about, this time of COVID and going through this, most of the conversations, this is a strange time and it's a strange world we're living in, comments that were made. But it gave me opportunity to express my faith and confidence in Jesus. And most of my customers, after 30, 40, 59, 49 years now of whitewashing, they know that I go to church, that I'm a believer, that I'm a Christian. But it opened the doors, gave me more opportunity to share that, the world is living in a time of fear, but we don't have to live that way. And a lot of my customers are believers as well. A lot of them would be Amish and Anabaptist background or so, but even people of the world, if they're farmers, they all recognize God as a creator, and they put seeds in the ground, the seeds grow, they harvest, and they understand the scripture. So it was a privilege to just be able to share. Just last week I was working for a customer, and he was sharing about his brother having some mental issues and some difficulties, and just able to share that, with God and with the teaching of His Word and the principles that are in Scripture, we can have hope. We can have, there's help there. There's answers there for our problems. And different times too, usually in leaving or saying goodbye to the customer, I'll say or the comment will come up that, like Marcus shared, this has not taken God by surprise. He's in control of creation, and He's in control of COVID-19. We can trust Him. His word is true. We've found Him to be faithful over the years. In my personal life, God has been with us, blessed us more than we deserve, and I can trust that God. He is my God. I can trust Him. We'll have the special singing at this time. I'd ask Kenlin to get the Hirschberger guys together. He's got some guys together, but I think one of them had to change his name. So we'll have the special singing at this time. And then we'll follow that if Lynn, you want to come up. He's kind of stepping in for Steve Delagrange, somebody from the factory. And then Logan and Howard just come up in that order then after the special music. So the Hirschbergers.
It's not really Hirschbergers, but anyhow, it's special singing for you. We're going to have two songs. The first song is My Ways Are Not Your Ways. And going with that, where it didn't take God by surprise, and He does know that there's a lot of times in life we don't think something happens like we had anticipated or we had planned, but God always has it planned.
Walk the way to the goal seems so weary and long. Trials almost take away my soul. Then we sigh and we cry and we ask, Father, why does this lie? My wishes all deny. My ways, my child, are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than thine. Let me lead you each step of this long, weary day. Let me clasp thy trembling hand in mine. It is my Lord's desire to do His blessed will and to serve my Master every day. But when things all go wrong and the world doubts me still, then, O Lord, I cannot understand. My ways, my child, are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than thine. Let Let me lead you each step of this long, weary day. Let me clasp thy trembling hand in mine. So I'll leave all to him he has promised to share, all my load and every care to bear. There is joy in my heart, and on my lips a song, even though, Lord, I don't understand. My ways, my child, are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than thine. Let me lead you each step of this long, weary day. Let me clasp thy trembling hand in mine.
The next song is What a Day That Will Be. With all this COVID, it shall pass. You don't have to worry about it after a while.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
That's going to be a day. Thank you so much for the singing. Really appreciate that. Coming from the point of a factory worker, I'm going to share a little bit about what it did to our family also. But thinking about factory life, let's back up a little bit. Sunday morning, I had preached here on March the 8th. And then in the evening, I was up at Hillsdale. Never gave a thought that the week was going to be different. And I want to share a verse right at the beginning that has really been, as I was looking at this afternoon, thinking about the fact that Jesus doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. And I heard that twice now, I think, this evening, that God wasn't taken by surprise. We were, but he wasn't. And he still isn't. He doesn't change. He's so faithful. Came back from Hillsdale thinking it's going to be a normal week. And I believe it was it March the 9th when the beginning of this maybe started to happen, somewhere in there, that there was some talk about possibilities of things being different. And on the 10th, I think, is when we began, or when we were told we're not working anymore. And so we had a lot of shutdown time, a lot of time at home. Some of the things that really, I guess, frustrated us as a family, probably the biggest thing was we had tickets to Thailand to go see our daughter and her husband. That was frustrating. Really frustrating. God, why? They're doing a good work. Why can't we go? But God had other plans. And so we stayed home. And we're so blessed the airlines actually refunded everything. So we weren't out of any money. So that was a blessing. And we thank God for that. Vonda started working for Instacart. Shopping and delivering groceries for those that didn't want to go out. We didn't mind going out. So she did a lot of shopping, and I did a lot of driving. And that was good. We enjoyed that time together. And also some of the finances that came in had to do with our unemployment insurance, some we don't enjoy doing, but we had to do. So God blessed us, and he taught me how to pray more, maybe how to pray differently, and to rely on him. Another thing that was a real blessing was more family time. I had a change of bedtime somewhat. I still get tired at 8 o'clock, but not having to go to bed quite as early because I'm not getting up early. And just the family time that we had during that time was really a blessing, and especially the Sunday morning family time. We missed our church family. There's something special about that, about getting together as a family and just sharing together. Realized how much I treasure the church family. So many times that we thought about church and being together and knowing here's another Sunday, it's high time. It's high time to get together. And knowing that it wasn't going to happen quite yet. So one of the things that I just really, really enjoyed when we came back to church, and I remember sitting back here and getting emotional about it, was the singing. Just hearing everybody join in the sing was so good. And I thought about that today. Am I losing that already? I don't want to lose that because I love singing together. That's a really good thing. Thinking back, one of the things I had to think about thinking back, how did I spend my time? And there's ways that I could have spent my time way different. I look back now and I'm like, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? And I think it's something for us to learn from, that we can, when we have opportunity, spend more time in the Word, spend more time on our knees, spend more time seeking, becoming more who He wants us to be. One of the things that this has done with the guys that I work with at work was it's given me so many more opportunities to share Jesus. I've had, I don't know, a number of different guys that come asking questions. Asking, what about this? What about that? And I've had so many opportunities just to take them to the Word or just share with them, this is how we believe because this is what Scripture says. And it's been a really, really positive thing in that sense of being able to share with them. And now we are blessed with an abundance of work. People don't want to stay at motels, I guess. They want to get out now that they can. And we have so many orders at the RV factories, and we can't keep up. And the suppliers can't keep up. We have many, many units stacked there that can't be shipped because of shortages. So that's been a positive thing. And I do expect here shortly that we're probably going to have more time off because of shortages catching up with the units that need to be sold. So God has been good to us. We can't complain. God has been very good to us. And he's taught us a lot of lessons through all of this. But I just want the church here to know that God is never going to fail us. It seems sometimes like maybe he's forgotten about us. He doesn't. He hasn't forgotten us. He knows where we're at, what we're doing, and continues to supply for us. Thank you.
Good evening. So I guess from a perspective of a farmer, like Sheldon said, life has been pretty normal on the farm, which I'm very thankful for. Spring, we were able to get all the parts we needed to get our seed, to get our fuel. Summertime was normal as well. We were able to get our parts for irrigation. So I know there were people that were laid off or even lost their jobs, so I'm very grateful and thankful that life was normal on the farm. One thing the pandemic did affect was the soybean and corn markets in a negative way, which was super discouraging. But I guess a few verses that have really helped me throughout the pandemic, Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. I guess one thing I've taken over the past 6 months is how much I really do appreciate the church family. I guess just echoing what Lynn said, the first couple Sundays were kind of nice to have church at home with the family, just live streaming. The days were super relaxed, and I definitely enjoyed them. But I guess a couple weeks in, I guess I definitely realized how much I missed coming together here at Calvary to worship. And I guess being back, yeah, it's definitely made me realize how thankful I am for the family here. Also, to the ministry team, I would like to publicly thank them for just checking in from time to time on each one of us. I know it takes time, and it meant a lot to have you guys checking in on us just to see how we were doing. It definitely meant a lot. And again, I just want to say how much I appreciate each one here in the congregation. Thank you.
Where do you start, I guess? When Tom asked me if I would share, I tried to think back how much it had changed our life, and my mind went to this cartoon that was in the Sturgis paper. It said the famous last words, and it has a picture of a graveyard, and on the stones it says, COVID-19 is a hoax, all under control. This will be gone by April. It'll just disappear. Lots of test kits. And it's just like the flu. That's what they wrote on those guys' gravestones. It didn't make it, I guess. But I'm not sure that it has affected me a whole lot. My life has not changed all that much. It didn't affect my job. If anything, it made it maybe a little busier. One thing it did, it increased our time at home a little. And our Sundays were truly a day of rest. My Sunday clothes were like the children of Israel's clothes. They stayed the same. They showed nowhere. I found it interesting, though, how people responded to this whole thing. I saw anger, fear, selfishness, judgmental, denial. I'm sure the list could go on. And it was pretty much the same all over the world. When this started, I found myself saying, the American people, but if you can believe the news and what they told us, the American people were just like the rest of the world. It wasn't just the American people. I think that was normal for mankind We all have the same basic nature, no matter where you live. Harold reminded us that this morning. No man has ever yet hated his own flesh. If there's a choice between me and you, I'm going to choose me. That's our basic nature. I was reminded every day by a UPS driver how bad and how stupid this whole thing of COVID really is. And he would have his radio going to his stations, and he was all wrapped up into this thing, and he was definitely not a believer, trust me. But it was kind of alarming when my thoughts were a lot like his thoughts. So how has my response to those around me who had fear or anger or denial, what were my thoughts? That may be how it affected us most, was my attitude towards the people rather than the COVID. I'm not sure.
How do we sum something like this up? Wrap it up. Maybe Harold, are you ready to wrap it up for us? Put our arms around it. I think one of the things that it's done for me is kind of put my arms around the congregation. I think we heard that this evening, the new appreciation for our church family. Experiencing time of separation isn't easy. I just thank each one of you for sharing. I thought Logan said he's got 3 minutes, maybe five. Well, if all of us have 5 minutes, we're going to need time for sharing from the rest of you. But it's really close to closing time. I'll express my appreciation to each one that shared your different perspectives. So many things were covered. I won't repeat them all, but I, too, just really express my appreciation for the church family and for just reaching out and being support to each other, having friends to make those phone calls to and text messages to helped us through this time. But hearing the testimony of God being faithful to His Word is faithful. I alluded to the fact, you know, a little more time in devotions and how many times through this COVID time that the devotional just spoke to where I had a need. David's life and the Psalms and his trusting the Father, even in times of when he was being pursued and that sort of thing, he was trusting the Father, and we can definitely trust God through this time as well. Are there any announcements that do need to be made this evening? Not? Let's stand together, and Harold, I will ask you to have prayer for us, if you would, please.